Readings this morning from the Hebrew Bible, selected verses from Psalm 105, God's faithfulness to Israel. Give praise to God, proclaim God's name, make known among the nations what God has done. Sing praise, tell of all these wonderful acts. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek God rejoice. Remember the wonders God has done, you descendants of Abraham, children of Jacob. God remembers the covenant forever, the promise made for 1,000 generations, the covenant made with Abraham, the oath sworn to Isaac, confirmed to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. God sent Moses and Aaron, whom he had chosen. He brought out Israel, laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because dread of Israel had fallen on them. Cloud spread out a covering, and fire to give light at night. They asked, and God brought them quail, fed them well with the bread of heaven. The rock was opened, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. The people were brought out with rejoicing, the chosen ones with shouts of joy. Praise God. And the gospel reading, Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46, the parable of the treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found a pearl of great value, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Bumping into God. Anyone who has seen the classic 1990 film American Beauty will recall the plastic bag scene. It's where teenager Ricky asks his friend Jane if she would like to see the most beautiful thing he has ever filmed. Ricky is something of a troubled mystic who sees beauty in the minutiae of everyday life and videos as much as he can for fear of missing it. So they sit in front of Ricky's television to watch his cherished film. A haunting sequence of a plastic bag dancing in the wind in front of a graffitied wall. With tears in his eyes, Ricky explains, "It was one of those days when it's a minute away from snowing and there's electricity in the air, you can almost hear it. And this bag was like dancing with me, like a little kid begging me to play with it for 15 minutes. And that's the day I knew there was this entire life behind things. And this incredibly benevolent force that wanted me to know there was no reason to be afraid, ever." Video is a poor excuse, I know, but it helps me remember, and I need to remember. Sometimes there's so much beauty in the world, I feel like I can't take it, like my heart's going to cave in. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
This is where you should check your cell phone to see that it's not switched on. And stop those conversations with the people next to you and get out your popcorn. Let us pray. As we look at how God has been portrayed in the movies, let us look at the screen of our own lives as we do so. So may it be. Amen. I was shocked to find that the actor who plays the rude, anal, self-absorbed Sheldon in the TV series The Big Bang Theory has recently starred as God on Broadway. A critic of the play looked through God's filmography to review what different actors had played the Holy One, finding 38 movies and plays from 1936 to 2011, so we're going to be here for a while. The roll call includes five actors of colour, mostly African-American, as in Whoopi Goldberg on the left and Morgan Freeman on the right, but also Brazilian. It contains four females on the list. Here we have Whoopi Goldberg and Alanis Morissette. God's voice has been heard in 12 of the movies, from Charlton Heston, playing both God and Moses in the 1956 epic The Ten Commandments, through to John Cleese and Eric Idle of Monty Python fame in the 2005 movie Spamalot. Seven of the movies on the list I thought could be classed as comedy, 12 of them as dark or troubling for different reasons, and 8 taking a semi-serious or constructive route, in my opinion. Not, of course, that the comedy films do not make serious points. You might remember the grandfatherly George Burns in no less than 3 God movies in the 1970s and 80s. And Alanis Morissette's portrayal in Dogma was from 1999. Interestingly enough, the costume designer said that she had particularly chosen this very, very closely worked jacket that Alanis is wearing that almost looks like a designer piece of costume, and deliberately had her wearing jandals as well, and thought that was very godlike for some reason. And the same year, according to our contemporary reading, God was played by a plastic bag in American Beauty. It's this century that Morgan Freeman has played God twice. Once confronting the complaining, irreverent Jim Carrey character Bruce in Bruce Almighty. Bruce has a quietly devout girlfriend called Grace, whose faith he both ignores and teases. God decides to teach him a lesson by giving him God's own powers for a period of time. God appears first of all as a janitor and then dressed more formally in white, and is quite stern with Bruce as he tells him that he is giving him his powers to see, so that he will see what it's like being God. At first, Bruce plays about with this in typical Jim Carrey fashion, causing a Red Sea-like split in his bowl of tomato soup at the diner and other even more childish pranks. And then the reality of the number of prayers coming into his inbox, up to 3 million plus, results in him simply answering yes to everyone, as he says, to keep everyone happy. Of course, going down the path of keeping everyone happy, as God knows perfectly well, runs several risks, not least that when everyone wins the lottery, there are riots in the streets because every ticket holder has only won $17 when it was all evened out. In the sequel to this, Evan Almighty, Freeman as God asks Evan to build an ark, right in the middle of the new subdivision into which Evan and his family have moved, full of optimism at his new position as congressman. The encounter has several interesting moments. They talk about changing the world, and Evan is really getting quite stressed because there are lots of things coming through to him in his life that are suggesting that he should be building this ark. And he doesn't see why he has to do it because he has other plans. Freeman just bursts into uncontrollable laughter at the idea of him having plans that might interfere with God's plans. And he also reminds him that the world is changed one act of random kindness at a time. If you take the beginning letters of that phrase, one act, A, of random, R, kindness, K, they spell ark. Behind the subtly embedded joke is a truth. Changing the world generally is achieved not through one huge act, but several, usually performed by a number of different and quite unlikely people. Fair Trade Week, fortnight, is coming up. Fair Trade works because a number of growers participate in the scheme started by a number of people, and the scheme will only work if a number of people make a number of purchases, one at a time. So the world for growers of bananas, cocoa beans, sugar, coffee and tea is changed one crop at a time, one purchase at a time, one idea at a time. And Fair Trade Fortnight will work if each one of you tells one other person about one of the events. There's one that really appeals to me. If you take something that's suitable for a food bank to the Wellington Chocolate Factory, they'll give you a free cup of Fair Trade chocolate, hot chocolate. Now, how's that for a deal? Check the news in the blog section of our website next week for details. It's a delicious moment in the Evan Almighty movie when Evan protests that taking time to build an ark will ruin all his plans, and God bursts into uncontrollable laughter. You can see in that moment how truly small our individual concerns are against the wider spiritual needs and imperatives of our world. And I'm not only speaking about social justice, hunger, peace, and equality issues. I'm speaking of the need for everyone in the world, whatever their religion, to be allowing a transformation to occur within them, where they move from being dominated by their ego-inspired plans, like Evan was initially in the movie, to be listening to that voice within that has a much wider view of what needs to be. That's the looking within that I wrote about in the e-news on Friday and is in a blog which will be published next week. This inner listening relates to the movie images of God too. These images in the movies, I thought when I was looking at them, whether they're meant sincerely or tongue-in-cheek, invite us to invest in a different person. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, or Whoopi, or Morgan Freeman, or George Burns, to invest in that person out there on the screen. And in a movie, it's even more out there because it's on a screen that we're watching. To invest in that person, all that we need to be acknowledging within ourselves. That's a danger of these amusing movies. We can leave the movie theatre comfortably secure in our view that not only is God funny after all, but also comfortably distant from us. And Bruce Almighty, when God gets mad at Bruce for being disrespectful and complaining, perhaps we need to be honest that we get tired of people dissing us for being spiritual or ethical or concerned with social justice. The point is not whether the screen God is kind, thoughtful, and wise about answering prayer, but whether we are. The point may be that we have to face up to the loneliness which comes when you're working on greater consciousness and allowing your true self to call the shots rather than your ego, when many in our world and the churches do not care about doing that. Why bother with meditation or prayer when having a coffee with friends is the more acceptable and fun thing to do? In at least four of the movies I considered for this reflection, the God figure intervenes in a person's life and as a result they are transformed. In the film A Little Bit of Heaven, Whoopi Goldberg catalyzes the transformation of a young woman called Marley, self-absorbed, careless of relationships and dismissive of other people, thinking that her world has been ruined by her parents, not through any fault of her own, but dying of cancer. The miracle is not in Marley being snatched from the jaws of death because God, or Whoopi, does not do that in this movie. The miracle is that she becomes more loving, more thoughtful, and less self-absorbed because she has been nudged into looking within. In Bruce Almighty, the gratingly careless Bruce gets a deeper sense of what life can be like. And in Evan Almighty, the rookie congressman is helped to put popularity aside and get the right thing done, putting up with flack and opposition to do so. Often the God character points out that this transformation was wrought by the person themselves, not magically by God, although obviously to get a few laughs in these movies you have to have some special effects. No, the pearl of great price is found within the person. The hidden treasure turns out to have been there inside them all the time. Yes, the kingdom is within them. To some extent, the God character simply sets the match to the fire, is the catalyst for the alchemy of transformation. I think some movies point this out to debunk a God who acts in people's lives. But in doing so, they unwittingly contain a deeper truth, that it is our own stepping aside from our ego operating system and allowing in divine software, which will mean our operating system is spirit-driven. It's a spiritual call always there for us to hear, whether or not Morgan Freeman calls in a white suit or Whoopi Goldberg invites you to a glass of champagne on her heavenly sofa. When you watch these movies and listen to the arguments the human characters raise when God suggests a change of approach, some of them seem familiar. They are the arguments we use to resist our own transformation. A space of quiet.